This is the beginning. Okay, Mishneh Torah. You see my screen. Mishneh Torah, foreign worship and customs of the nations. Okay, during the time of Enosh, this is the source of the other text. Mankind made a great mistake. See, the same ideas he brought on the text. Same mistake, and the wise men of that generation gave thoughtless counsel. What was the mistake? So the Rambam explains like this. They said God created stars, spheres, whatever, great creations to control the world. He placed them on high, treated them with honor, making them servants who minister before him. This is what God did, and this is true, this creation. Accordingly, it is fitting to praise and glorify them, those creations, and to treat them with honor. That's the right thing to do. They perceive this is what God actually wants. So they thought about God, they understood God, they just want, God wants us to praise his great creations. Indeed, doing so is an expression of honor to the king. After conceiving this notion, they started to construct temples and offer sacrifices to them. They would praise and glorify them with words, prostrate themselves before them, because by doing so, they would, according to their false conception, be fulfilling the will of God. This is what God actually wants. The king wants us to serve his servants. This was the essence of worship of false gods. And this was the rationale of those who worshiped them. They would not say that there is no other God except for the stars. No. They would say there's a God, but God, this is what the definition of Shittuf, of this partnership. There's the God, he's powerful, blah, 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 very nice, but he created stars. And he wants us to serve those stars also. And this is what Jeremiah says, who will not fear you, king of the nations? This is the same thing that Rabbi Weiner is quoting, okay? He's quoting from the Rambam. They have one foolish and senseless notion. They conceive of their empty teachings as wood, whatever, like the idols they had. This is law number one. Okay, chapter one, and okay, Sefaria is not so good on this. You see the little one over here? I don't know if you see my mouse. You see my mouse also? Okay, there's a little one over here. That's why this is the first law in this chapter. Chapter 1, law number 1. Now, the Rambam was a very, very order and structure mind. And now begins law number 2. So to speak, maybe it's a little bit more complex than what I'm saying, but so to speak, a new thing starts. We finished something, an idea. What is the idea? Look, there was an Enosh, there was a generation that made a mistake, and what was the mistake? That's it. We finished with this idea. That's called Shittuf. So to speak, again, we finished with this. Let's go to the second idea, a new idea. Let's go to the English. After many years passed, there arose false prophets who told their nations that God had commanded them to say, serve this star. Or all the stars, sacrifice to it, libations to it, build a temple for it, and make an image of it, so that all people, including the women, could bow to it. But before, he also said clearly, the people began. You see, in the first law, it's not that somebody came up and said this. No, people started doing this, led by Enosh and the wise men, quote unquote, of their generation. But they began doing this, construct temples, start to the stars, offering sacrifices. Now, a new thing started. Let's call it a prophet. Okay, it's a false prophet, but there's a guy over here, and he's a prophet. He talks to God, or to the star, I don't know. He talks to somebody, he receives information from above. Somehow, we don't know. He's a great guy. And he said, go serve the star, and do this, and do that, etc. This prophet, you see the difference between the first law and the second law. In the first law, he's talking about people in general, they started doing things. In the second law, he's saying, no, there was a guy leading people to do things. And everybody believed. Okay, I don't know why, but the reality is that people believed. He would inform them of a form that he had conceived. He made up something and said, let's do this. And tell them that this is the image of the particular star. Like he brought a thing of wood and said, you see this thing of wood? This is the image that this star likes. Claiming that this was revealed to him in a prophetic vision. The star told me this. I'm not making up anything. Star told me this. In this manner, the people began to make images of in temples, under trees, on the tops of mountains and hills. People would gather together and bow down to those images. And the false prophets would say, this image is the source of benefit of or harm. If you bow down, you're going to have a lot of money. Wow, let's bow down. If you don't bow down, oh, you're going to see the crop this year is going to be so bad. No rains. Oh, okay. It is appropriate to fear it, to serve it, fear it, etc. Their priests would tell them. You see, now they have priests also, not just prophets. They would tell them, this service will enable you to multiply, to be successful, do this, don't do that, etc. Subsequently, later, other deceivers arose and declared that a specific star, sphere, angel had spoken to them and commanded them, serve me in this manner. The star came up and said this. He would then relate a mode of service. Do this, don't do that. Thus, this practice is spread throughout the world. People would serve images with strange practices, one more distorted than the other. Others offer sacrifices to them, bow down to them. As the years passed, here comes the fourth generation that Rabbi Weiner quoted. As the years passed, God's glorious and awesome name was forgotten by the entire population. Nobody was talking about God. Rather, about stars, about wood, about stones, etc., etc. It was no longer part of their speech and thought, the same words that Rama quoted, and they were no longer knew him. Nobody spoke about God. Thus, the common people, women and children, would know only the image of wood or stone and the temples of stone, etc., etc. The wise men among them would think that there is no God other than the stars. You see, in this second law, there's a different idea. In the first law, the idea is, no, there's a God. Are you a fool? There's a God. But God wants us to serve the star. In the second law, the Rambam says, finishes. Basically, there's no God. Forget it. This star is the God. This thing is the God. The eternal rock, which means God, was not recognized. Nobody spoke about him. With the exception of a few individuals. Hanoch, Mesushelach, Noach, Shem, Eber. Okay, in the third law, we're not going to read it. You can find it in Sepharia. It's free and it's open. You see, it's a long, long text. Rambam doesn't write so much. In the third law, he started really like in a poetic way. So I'm not going to read it. Starts talking about Abraham. Abraham recognized God and he found God. Okay, very nice. Abraham told us there's only one God. Okay, you can find this very easily. Again, Mishneh Torah, foreign worship and customs of the nations, chapter 1, the first three laws, and you can continue reading, it's fine. It's an interesting reading, and it's okay. This is what the Rambam says. So, what's the difference, technically speaking, between law number 1 and law number 2? Law number 1 is talking about shituf, partnership. Law number 2 is talking about avoda zara, idolatry. Forget about God, or the same thing but in different words, this is God. This thing I have over here in my hands, this is God, there's nothing else. And if you bow down to this, you're going to be successful. That's the difference between these two laws. I wanted to read you, this is not in English, forget it. It doesn't make any sense to look for it in Hebrew, right? To show it, doesn't make sense. Okay, Ali. Okay, let's go. I'm going to read for you a piece, a very short piece. One piece over here of a discourse of the Rebbe. This discourse was actually pronounced 1971 in the day of the birthday of the Rebbe, Yudalef Nisan, the 11th of the month of Nisan. This discourse is one of the most, it's a long one, one of the most emblematic and like characteristic discourses of the Rebbe. Like a regular yeshiva bocher, a regular guy that learns in a learning school of Jewish thought, etc., Hasidic Jewish, if you did not learn this, you don't understand it. Forget it. You don't know what Chabad is. you don't know what the Rebbe is, you're lost. This is one of the most like emblematic discourses. He brings over here a whole midrash, a whole teaching of our rabbis. I'm going to read to you the teaching. It's the original is in Hebrew, so you will forgive my English. But the teaching of the midrash in itself is very interesting. And the whole discourse goes around this thing, this teaching. The teaching is like this. There's a verse in Eicho, in Lamentations. The verse says, Chelki avaye omra nafshi. Literally translating, my portion, God says, my soul. So my soul is saying, God, you are my portion, I'm sorry. Okay, that's the verse. The Midrash quotes this verse and gives the following example. What is the soul telling you? Like, God, you're my portion. What are you talking about? Brings an example of a king that he entered the country, the city, whatever. Imagine, like, in Europe it's going to be easier. In America it's impossible. But you have kings and their carriages and they're walking and the horses and everybody around and everybody with trumpets. Imagine all this thing. Okay, the king is entering the city. And there was with the king, he brings over here three Aramaic words, which actually means the minister of this, the minister of that, policemen, all kinds of important people walking with the king. And there was a group of people watching this. And the Midrash quotes the conversation between this group of people watching the king walk around with all this, his court, whatever, all these guys. One of the guys says, I'm going to keep this minister. Like, I'm inventing right now. It's not written this way, but it says duchsin. It's a word, whatever. I'm going to keep the minister of economy. That's the right guy for me. The other one says, nah, I'm going to keep the minister of interior. This is the powerful guy, you know. And the other one says, no, I'm going to keep the minister of war, whatever. Ministers, different ministers. There was a wise guy. This is the way of the Midrash. Okay, I'm just translating for you. There was a wise guy over there, and he said, I'm going to keep the king. What do you mean? These ministers, I'm keeping the king. And he explains, everybody changes, but the king never changes. Like the king can take a minister and say, you're out, and put another one. The king, he doesn't change. This is the example. This is the example. The Midrash continues. Maybe I shouldn't read this, but I like being transparent and simple. The Midrash continues. Nations of the world, you have some of them that serve the sun, some of them serve the moon, etc. Everybody has their gods. But Israel, Jewish people, they only serve God, like one God. That's why it says, Chelki avaye, the soul says, God, you are my portion. You are the king, I'm keeping you. Point. That's the Midrash. The Rebbe, again, goes around this Midrash in a very deep and powerful way. And the main question over here, even though he asks many questions, but the main question over here is, wait a second, why is the Midrash saying that you need a wise guy to keep the king? What do you mean, wise guy? Any fool can understand that the king is more powerful than any minister. You don't need a wise guy. But the Torah over here is saying, there's a wise guy. You have to be wise. Why do you need wise? You don't need to be wise. Everybody knows this. And the Rebbe says, even small children know that the king is more powerful than any minister. So why wise guy? Okay. The beginning of the explanation, the Rebbe doesn't quote word by word the Rambam, but he brings this idea of the Rambam talking about two ideas. Shituf in the first law. I changed the screen. Okay, over here. Shituf in the first law. Partnership. And Avodah Zarah, idolatry, in the second law. And the Rebbe says like this. I'm just going to read a few parts of it. In the first generations, it is known, says the Rebbe, in the first generations, you're going to see a few words pretty much like the Rambam, because the Rebbe is basing himself in the Rambam, but it's not quoting word by word. In the first generations, there were those who served the stars and the constellations. And they knew that the energy that God gives to the earth comes through the stars and the constellations. And God actually gives life and sustenance, etc., etc., through the stars. They knew this. There's a God, and he's sending us life, so to speak. Again, all kinds of things, food, drinks, and clothes, anything we need, God is the one giving us, but he gives through the stars. But they made a mistake, and their mistake was that they thought that this energy that came from God through the stars, listen to the words, very precise, energy that came from God through the stars was by free will of the stars. This is a new concept. The Rambam doesn't say it clearly. Rabbi Weiner chose not to say it. Maybe later he says it. I don't know. In this part of the text that we read, he doesn't say it. But the main point over here is, what's the mistake actually? What was the problem? Why would Enosh, in the Rambam, in our screen, why would Enosh think about these things? Where is really the problem? The problem is, they thought the star can choose to give you or not to give you. Who gives? Who's the source? God. Nobody thinks about anything else. We're talking about the first law of the Rambam, okay? That's where we're standing. God. There is a God, he's a creator, he's so powerful, infinite. Oh, very nice. And he gives. But the star can choose not to give you. For whatever reason, because he doesn't like your face, so he's not going to give you. So you better pray to me, would say the star. If you pray to me, I'm going to give you. That's what they thought. They didn't know the truth. The truth was, or is, I'm sorry, that they don't have any free will at all. It's just like a tube God puts in one side and comes out of the other side, whether they like it or not. The tube doesn't decide. The pipe, I mean, doesn't decide to give or not to give. They're just, quoting the words of the Rebbe, they're just like an axe in the hands of the wood chopper. And because they thought that the stars have free will, they prostrate themselves to them, they serve them, because according to their mistake, that the energy that comes from God through the stars is because the stars chose, it's appropriate to be thankful, right? If somebody gives you something, it's appropriate to say thank you, even though that something maybe comes from somewhere else. But it's appropriate to say thank you. Why not? Like you go to the bank and you go to the counter and the guy in the bank gives you whatever. You asked for $100, he gives you a bill of $100, you say thank you. It doesn't belong to him. What do you mean? It belongs to you, actually. It wasn't the bank, but it belongs to you. But you say thank you because you're a mensch, you're a good guy. You say thank you. So they thought, if the star chose to give me money, sustenance, whatever, I have to say thank you to the star. Similar to an idea that brings the Talmud, Hamra lemaris in Aramaic, it's interesting, Tibusa leshakir. It's a typical saying, the wine belongs to the owner of the house. But you say thank you to the guy, I forgot how to say Moso, the guy that brings it to you. So the guy that when you go to a restaurant, there are people walking around, I forgot the word, people walking around and giving you things, I forgot the word. So you say thank you to that guy, but actually the food belongs to somebody else. Okay. Because, according to the mistake, that the stars, they have free will, they thought that if you serve the star, it's going to give you more. God decided that I'm going to have $100. Yeah, but if you actually pray to the star, you're going to have 200. So pray to the star. Because the star decides. And from this is generation number one. And law number one in the Rambam. Now comes the second part. From this came up a bigger mistake. What was the bigger mistake? They thought that God left the earth in the hands of the stars. And the whole management of everything else, everything happening down here, is in the hands of the stars. Just like a king that puts one of his or many ministers to conduct the country. The king can't be everywhere and can't think about everything. So you have ministers, it's fine. This guy thinks about economy, this guy thinks about health, and okay, you have different ministers. That's fine. That's good. That's the way the world works. That even though that the ministers really have the power to manage the country because the king puts them there, I can't become suddenly a minister of health in Argentina. What do you mean? I'm nobody. If the president puts me over there, okay, he doesn't know what he's doing because I don't know anything about medicine. But, okay, I have the power because the president put me there. That's fine. They knew this. Even though the fact that they have power to manage the country is because the king puts them there. However, once they were put there, they really decide and manage the country. So to speak, this is not the reality of the world, but so to speak, really the one deciding the politics of health in a country is the Minister of Health. Now, wait a second, he's not alone. There's a parliament, there's a president, there are other ministers, there's people. You can't do whatever you want. No, that's the truth. Even though he's a minister, you can't do whatever you want. Now, they thought that once the king, so to speak, God, put the stars over there, managing the world, so the stars can do whatever they want. And the king does not mix himself in anything, and then it puts into parentheses, between parentheses, except for very seldom interventions. When the king says, I don't like this, boom, comes the king and changes something. But otherwise, forget it, the king is playing around with the dogs in the woods, and the ministers manage the country. This is called idolatry. The text continues. I'm going to stop here with this text of the Rebbe. But here you see clearly the two laws of the Rambam, the two problems, so to speak, shituf and idolatry. Literally, idolatry. And what was actually the problem? That's why I'm bringing this text of the Rebbe. I think it makes it more clear. What were they really thinking about? How stupid can you be? Hey, wait a second. I'm not so stupid. They have free will. That's what they thought. The stars have free will. And so therefore, of course you have to pray to the stars. Makes sense. Thank, be thankful because they're giving you, and pray because they're going to give you more. And the second mistake, what's behind it, so to speak? The fact that, of course, God is very busy with other things. He's a big guy, you know, very busy. So he left the country, the world, in the hands of the stars. Don't even talk to God. Forget it, he's not listening to you. To the point that you forgot about him completely. Talk to the star. The star, it's okay, it's really caring about you, and forget about God. That's the second mistake. That's idolatry. That's what they thought.